My name is Millie Juarez, and I'm a pastor's wife from Calvary Chapel, Montebello, the Ark Montebello. Once again, it's an honor and a privilege to be here to declare how good God is and share with me a little bit of my own story. Muchísimas gracias for having me here. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. We come before you and we believe that you will meet us exactly where we are. Many have walked in full of joy, anticipating, excited to just learn more of you and about you, drawing closer to you. But there are those that have come in with heavy hearts. Whatever it may be, my Father, meet them at their station in life. May I decrease and you increase this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Girls, isn't it true that when a baby is born into a family, one of the very first things they'll ask is, what is his name? What is her name? Why? Because names identify us. Names can help us feel a sense of belonging. It connects us to community. Names can help us build relationships. I think we all know that. And names can actually stir emotion and foster connections. Parents feel a swell of sweet emotions when they hear their child's name, right? And names can also reflect our family history, our culture, and even our personal stories. Can I take 30 seconds? I've got to share with you a little bit about my name. While I was in the first grade, the Catholic school nuns couldn't pronounce my name. So they decided to change it. I don't even know if they asked for my parents' permission, but they changed it. And now I was Mildred. When I accepted Jesus Christ into my life, my new friends that the Lord brought to my side decided to change it to Millie. Some decided to chop it up a little and call me Mill. My wonderful son-in-law calls me Milster. When I became a mother, I was Mermy. My poor mother never got to hear my real name spoken, which happens to be Ming Dahlia. No wonder the nuns had to change my name. Names are important to us. And to God, they are also important and they're significant. Names are significant. Real quick example would be, in the days of Jesus, he brought men into his life, come alongside him to teach, to disciple. One of them was Simon. When Simon became one of his disciples, Jesus decided to call Simon Peter, which means rock. It signified his role, Simon, as a foundation for the early church. It was also a reminder of the role that Jesus wanted Simon to play. And it was also to help Simon live out his new identity and his new mission. So why does God change a person's name in the Bible? Once again, God just wanted to instill a new vision in that person's life, much like myself and much like my husband. I was going to school for theater. I was a theater arts major. My husband was majoring in hotel and restaurant management. He changed all that. Or he would instill not only a new vision, but also a new role that he wanted them to accomplish, much like myself and my husband. So names are important to all of us. So when I started having children, my prayer for my daughters, I have 5 children, by the way, my prayer for my daughters, as well as my son, as they begin to grow and mature was to learn to diffuse, to spread out, to dispense the fragrance, the sweet aroma of Jesus, much like this wonderful church, Calvary Chapel Vista. So I happen to name my girls after flowers. Why? Because last night I spoke a little bit about how much I love gardening. I would always follow my mom and my madrina around the house just talking about flowers and seeds and all that. So I based it also on 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. This is what that verse says. God thinks of you and he thinks of us as a perfume that brings Christ to everyone. For people who are being saved, this perfume has a sweet smell that leads them to a better life. That happened to me. So, I named my first daughter Jasmine Star. My second daughter I named Bianca Flor, which means white flower. My third child, girl, was Alexandria Lavender. And then my husband interfered. He interrupted. He said, no more flower names. No more flower names. I want to name her a different name. And I go, what is it? He said, Zoe. I go, Zoe, what does that mean? It means God's life breath. So my fourth child, my fourth girl, is Zoe Bell. It was fun. It was fun naming my children. But my challenge as a young mother was to constantly refer them to the name of Jesus as the name that they would have to learn to run to during their life journey. Because I often tell them, I won't always be there. Jesus will. The name of Jesus, it needed to become my children's powerful source of life. Their strength, their provision, their hope, their peace, their hiding place. Their ultra hiding place. That fortified tower that they would need to run to feel safe from the attacks of the enemy and the many tough challenges that they would have to face during their life journey. The name of Jesus in the exciting book of Acts, and I encourage you girls, start reading the book. It's extremely exciting. I wonder if there's a movie out there on it. I mean, it's just drama-rama. It's just really fun to read. You learn so much. It's an exciting book. Along with the titles of Lord or Christ, Jesus' name was mentioned 190 times. His name was powerful. The name of Jesus was influential. But it was also strongly resisted. Anybody that spoke the name of Jesus, or would teach in his name. For example, myself, if back in those days I'm talking to you about Jesus, I could very easily be arrested. I could be beaten. I could be imprisoned. The name of Jesus, though, brought salvation to thousands. That's how powerful the name of Jesus was back then and is today. It was the name of Jesus. It was Jesus that brought me to the cross. The name of Jesus was also a powerful healing source. You read that all over the Bible. Mental issues, physical issues, psychological issues. Jesus was there. Can I show you who Jesus has become to me today? Let me show you. This is a beautiful gift that was given to me a few years back, and I have it laid on my sofa. But I just absolutely love, if you could maybe read it from here. Jesus has become my, this is a blanket full of his names. He's a bright and morning star. I've come to believe that he is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the author and the finisher of my faith. Whatever Jesus starts, he finishes. The name of Jesus continues to remain that high tower for believers as well. So what did a high strong tower look like back in the days when Proverbs, the beautiful verse that we're using this weekend, looked like? It was a place of safe refuge, solidly built. It wasn't made out of wood or plastic, solidly built, heavily fortified. Strong towers back then were built to hold large amount of food and supplies. It was a place of safety, a place of provision. Whenever a village was attacked, let's say invaders come, they start attacking Calvary Chapel Vista, the people in the village, all of us would run to the tower to find protection and provision there. King David, if you ever read about his story or get very interested in his life, he faced many, many, many challenges and real temptations in his life, especially as a king. As you read about his life, you find him constantly in the tower. He's a writer. He would write a lot of poetry. He would write a lot of songs. And they were written while in the middle of total chaos. And also, of course, in times of great joy. Many of you are here with great joy, anticipating, anxious to learn about Jesus. There are many that are probably in a very chaotic place. But as David would write, he would write about his personal weaknesses. He would also write to praise and to build up the name of Christ. And also he would write so that we could recognize God's nature and his character. He wrote Psalm 18 as a victory song. Why victory? After running as a fugitive for 13 years from a man that hated him, that was filled with rage and anger and jealousy against King David. And what was the reason? Because King Saul knew that King David, that God would place David as king in the very near future there in Israel. So the psalm was written by David once the chase was over. How would you like to be chased, to be killed for 13 years? David then writes this psalm, and he gives us a very intense, a very rich description and powerful declaration of God as David's tower. As you see up on the screen, David writes, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. You're my buckler, Lord. You're my shield. You're my horn of salvation." That means it symbolizes power. When you ever hear the horn of salvation, it symbolizes power and strength. God, you're my high tower. I'll call upon you. And I've called upon you for 13 years. And you've delivered me. You've been my strength. You've been my rock. You've been my buckler. You've been there. And you saved me. Because you have a purpose. I'm going to be saved from my enemies. So, when did the Lord become my fortress? of strength. At the age of 19, having to make a very hard, or maybe the hardest and horrendous decision that I could ever make, I found myself pregnant out of marriage. Tremendous fear, tremendous anguish, desperation, feeling alone. I seriously thought about terminating the pregnancy. But my boyfriend wanted the baby. I didn't. He proved it to me by taking on 3 jobs. He would call me on his break. Emily, would you consider? Would you consider? I said, no. I was frozen in fear. I was frozen. Frozen with fear. But my family, oh my dear God, my mother, my father, my friends, my neighbors, my family, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? So I made the selfish decision. I made the selfish decision to abort the child. A few weeks later, in a very, very, very deep depression, Jesus, in his great grace, his overflowing mercy and tremendous compassion, he led me to a woman by the name of Laura, without knowing that she was a follower of Jesus. I just needed somebody to talk to. I didn't want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about God. I need to talk about myself. I needed an ear. And what did Laura do? She shared the love and the forgiveness of Calvary, of Jesus. It was at that moment he became my fortress. It was at that moment Jesus took on a name that I'll never forget. And that name was Jehovah Elroy. It's a Hebrew name. I don't speak Hebrew. But I came across that name in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew scriptures, in the ancient scriptures. And that Jehovah means God. Elroy. You know what it means? The God who sees me. We don't serve a blind God, girls. He sees you. He saw my depression. He saw my despair, my guilt, my shame, my regret, my sorrow, my pain. Without realizing it, the God who sees me became my stronghold. He became my high tower. He became my savior. He became my redeemer. He redeemed me. The word redeems means to clear a payment. So he paid. He cleared my horrendous sin with the precious and priceless blood of Jesus Christ. He then covered me. He took my unrighteousness, all my wrongs, and he replaced it with his robe of righteousness. That day, girls, he covered me. He took my unrighteousness and he covered me with his righteousness. He became my bright and my morning star, my redeemer, the horn of salvation, the lion of Judah, my holy redeemer, Emmanuel, God with me, the son of righteousness. He covered me with his righteousness. And then to top it all off, girls, You know what else he did? He crowned me. Put a crown on my head. He crowned me as his daughter. And on top of all this, girls, top of all these blessings, once married, the Lord blessed me with twins. In other words, the God who sees me, Jehovah Rohi, was tremendously gracious to give me back the child I gave up. Can't believe it. King David, once again, in one of his big challenges, like me, he so clearly, in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3, I believe it might be on the screen. There it is. In my situation, that was King David's situation too. He writes this: I wait patiently for the Lord to help me. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and out of the mire. Then he set my feet on solid ground and he steadied me as I walked along. He's also given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many, many will see what he has done. They're going to be amazed. They will then put their trust in the Lord. I was never the same, girls, after that encounter with God, Jehovah El Roy, the God who sees me. Though life brings tremendous joy, we all know that it also brings a lot of pain and grief. I discovered another of God's name, that myself, my husband, my daughters, and a handful of faithful prayer warriors clung to for 15 to 20 years praying for my wayward son. Girls, come on. 15, 20 years? You want to give up? I wanted to give up. I wanted to throw in the towel. But you know what happened? I'd go and pick up the towel up again. Another name of God came to mind. It's another Hebrew name. It's called El, E-L. It means the strong one. God had to become my strong one in this situation. 15, 20 years praying for my son. There was a fear and a desperation for my son. This is why I just prayed so diligently. But girls, did you know that waiting can be part of God's good plan? David waited for 15 years before he became king. Abraham, well, he waited for 25 years after the Lord told him that he would father a child. And then Moses, how about Moses? 40 years in the desert before God raised him up to take his people out of Egypt. Waiting was part of God's good plan for all of them. So if you happen to be in the waiting tank, in a waiting tank at this time, girls, you're in good company. Psalm 27 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. So now that I am a daughter of the Most High God, Hebrews 4 urged me, it encouraged me in this situation with my son. It urged me to approach my strong God with boldness and assurance rather than with fear and desperation for my son. Now that I have a right standing with God, now that I have access to my Heavenly Father because I'm his daughter, I was able to boldly approach this throne of great grace and mercy to find grace and to find mercy at this great time of need. Psalm 34 confirms his love for us. The Bible says that the righteous, we cry out. The Lord hears. We don't serve a deaf God. And then he delivers us from all their troubles. So, with my son's mental issues, and drug use, alcohol, social anxiety, great loneliness, and fear that my son was experiencing. After meeting with the police several times, and ambulances, mental institutions, rehabilitation homes, today, after 15 years plus, my Sebastian's on a wonderful road to recovery, being healed. Thank you. All applause goes to the Lord, honestly. The strong one. Oh. Being healed mentally, physically, and spiritually. He's at home with us. That was a directive from God. Because this was the third time that my son would come back to our home. My daughters and everybody else was telling me, Mom, don't do that. Don't bring him back. Don't bring him back. But this is when you open up God's word. Those who seek God, who love God and seek God earnestly, wholeheartedly, in a desperate state, he'll speak to you. And in spite of everybody telling me don't, I knew through God's word, as I would seek God for years, and I knew. The next thing after rehab was sober living. So he came to our home, and he's doing very well. Very good. He's back at college. He volunteers at church. He better. And he spends a lot of time with his fun, crazy, loving sisters. All because I hung on to L, the strong one that got us through this tremendously hard time. So girls, run. You run. Run in time of trouble, run in time of pain and hurt. Let me encourage you to run to God. The Bible tells us to go back to him. Look towards him, draw near to him. The Bible says draw near to God, he will draw near to you. There's nothing quite like the relentless, wholehearted, and determined search of God. So run to him. Chase after him. And then be fascinated with his word. You've got to become fascinated with God's word. You've got to let him speak to you as you seek him with a whole heart. And those who seek him with a whole heart will find him. But before I end, let me take you to one more name. One more name. One more name of God. That's been powerful and influential. He's become my tower. How many times have I run to this tower? In the year 2000, I was once again faced with a very serious concern. That was my health. I noticed an alarming swelling in my left eye, and it was, sheesh, I was very puzzled and a little perplexed. So I sought professional help. Biopsies and surgeries followed. After many doctors and many tests, they believe it was a rare cancer behind the eye, malt lymphoma, which, unfortunately, it seeded, it spread back here, from here to here, to the central nervous system. And so my body then was attacked. I couldn't really walk very well. I couldn't really lift my hands or things like that. So with two types of cancers invading my body, I began to feel very overwhelmed. Would you not? Overwhelmed with emotions. Well, feeling overwhelmed and fearful with tons of questions that were flooding my mind. Questions like, is it going to get worse? Oh, Lord, is this going to get worse? It's already bad enough, but is it going to get worse? Will I be passing away? How about my young children? How about my husband? I love serving alongside him. How will this affect the church? How will my illness affect my family and friends? So, where did I go? Where did you think I went, girls? I want you to talk back to me. You went where? I went to the tower. I went to that high tower. Where Jesus once again became my Jehovah, meaning God, Rapha, another Hebrew name. That was one of God's many names in the Old Testament. This one was, I grabbed onto Jehovah Rapha, meaning the God who heals. Girls, I knew I was going to be healed. I knew I was going to be healed. I knew it. I was positive. If not on earth, in heaven, I would be healed. If not on earth, in heaven. So one particular morning, after all my doctor's appointments, hospitalization, biopsies, everything under the sun, I nervously opened up the Word of God. With my mind once again just filled with questions. Not just flipping through, not knowing where I was going to read. Where did I leave off? Where am I reading? In the book of Romans? Where exactly? But I landed in Psalm 92. And I decided to camp there. Jesus was going to clearly answer all my questions from Psalm 92. I don't know if we have it on the screen, but we do. Chapter 92. I camped out on verses 12 to 15. And this is how he answered me. This is why I said, girl, you got to get fascinated with God's word. Let him speak to you. I talk a lot. Sometimes I just have to shut up and let God speak to me. So in a desperate search of what is going to happen, whatever it is, help me to accept it, Lord. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Anything that flourishes, girls, is not dead. It actually means to prosper and to thrive as a plant. So the writer here, I believe it's King David, once again, he refers to the palm tree and the cedar tree as trees that are unshakable against the winds. Cancer was a strong windstorm in my life. Verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Once again, the word flourish in the courts of the Lord. Flourish means to grow luxuriously. Verse 14, they shall bear fruit in old age. How old was I at the time? I think I was 39 or 40. And I'm 71 today. So I think I'm growing old, and I hope that I keep on bearing fruit. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap. That literally means fat. They shall be full of sap. What is sap? Girls, sap is the juice. It's the vital circulating fluid of a plant, especially of a woody plant like a cedar or a palm. They shall be full of sap, the nourishment for a tree and its branches, and flourishing, which literally means green. And anything that is green is alive. And last but not least, verse 15. He wanted me to declare this to you, to Calvary Chapel Vista, years later, and to continue to declare to others that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. He is my solid strength in time of trouble. And there is no unrighteousness. You tell my daughters, I am to become their rock. Let them know there's no evilness, there's no wickedness, there's no weakness in my name. I shut the Bible. And I'm a homeschool mother, so there was construction paper all over this table. I picked up a black one, I remember, and I cut out a palm tree. And I turned it into a bookmarker, and I stuck it in my Bible to always remind me of this overwhelming moment spent with the Lord. In my desperate state, needing answers, he spoke to me. But girls, little did my mother nor I even realize, but my name, Mingdalia, really stood for until this conference. I discovered that my name, Mingdalia, actually means tower. I had to be born with resilience and strength for the big challenges that I would have to face in my lifetime, dealing with two types of cancer, having to be rushed to the emergency for about the 10th time, having an asthma attack, and flatlining. I literally died on the table. Then having to, and obviously they resuscitated me, and then having to cope with my 15 plus years with a wayward child. And the answer to all these challenges, girls, was a powerful name of Jesus. The Word of God got me through all these years, and relying on God's powerful Spirit and waiting on His perfect timing, and also for His perfect will. If it was His will at that time to take me home, He would have taken me home. Girls, dedicate time. Dedicate time to the Lord in prayer and in worship. Read the Word like you would dedicate time to a family member or an event or a sport or class. Give Him the chance to change the trajectory of the path before you. He'll make it clear because that's His job. Life is so hard when we try to control it. But when we let go of the reins, it suddenly becomes a little easier. So we were never meant to be in control. So let go and let God. Psalm 19 reminds me, many are the plans of your heart, of a person's heart. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So let me encourage you for the last time to run to God. And when you do, I want you to look around. When you're running to God, I want you to look around. Who is cheering you on and encouraging you along the way? Who is running with you at the same pace with the same love and determination in your heart? Surround yourself with people that are also on this path of righteousness leading to Jesus. These are the people. These are the people that are going to encourage you. They're going to love you. And they're going to remind you of God's plan and his love. When life and anxiety begins to take over. So in conclusion, trust God. Because when we do, we can follow his path and his plan for us. And he will reveal the life that he has constructed for you. And that he's always wanted to give you. Along with the peace, along with the love that only could come from him. Jesus, he's good. He's good. He loves you. He wants to protect you. He wants you to feel loved and protected. I'd love to end this study with a song, one of my favorite songs. It's an old hymn. And if you happen to know it, join me in singing it. If not, I'll sing it on my own. It's called "There Is Something About That Name." Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. The day is coming when every voice that has ever uttered a word, a sound, every voice of Adam's race will rise in one mighty shout and repetition to proclaim the name of Jesus. For on that day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Because there's something about that name. God bless you.